Well, once again, good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining in. And someone just joined in. If you want to identify yourself, you can. If not, we'll just go right into prayer.
Linda.
Hi, Linda.
Hi.
Hi.
Good morning.
Well, let's go together in prayer to the Lord. As we humble our hearts, let's just purge ourselves of the world and all that has happened in this morning and all that's going on in our lives personally, all that's happening around us. Let's just purge ourselves of that, and let's just focus in on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Heavenly Father, this morning we come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus. So thank you for another day of life. To thank you, Father, for the blessings you've shown us. To thank you, Father, for the way you have carried us through this life that we are living, Lord God. You brought us all from a mighty long ways. Lord, there's so many paths that we could have gone. But Lord, you have steered us and you've kept us and you're providing for us, Lord. And we're so thankful. In the name of Jesus, we thank you and we praise you for your goodness and your mercy. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for choosing us. Because, Father, I know that we cannot choose you. You had to call each of us by name. And, Lord, we thank you for calling us. We thank you for the way that you provide for the righteous and the unrighteous. But, Father, you are loving God. And, Lord, you are everything that we ever need, Lord. Help us to continue to keep our focus on you and you alone. Not on the things around us, not on the things that we're dealing with, but on you, Father, because you said you will meet every need we have. You are Jehovah Rapha. You are a healer, and we thank you for healing our bodies, healing our hearts, preparing a place that we have to live, Father, on this earth, doing all that you've done for us. Lord, we thank you this morning in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just ask this morning that, Lord, you please wash each and every one of us right now with the blood of Jesus. Let your anointing fall afresh and anew on all of us today, Lord God, that, Lord, we would hear what you want us to hear, that, Lord, we'll become more and more connected with you, Lord Jesus, so that you are the source of our strength, and that, Lord, you will guide and direct us, Lord God, the way you want us to go. Lord, have mercy on us today. Bless this service, Father, as we're about to participate in. It's all for your glory, not ours. So take over it, Holy Spirit. Come in. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, to come in and have your way today. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. Come in, Holy Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We praise you and we glorify you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for you deserve all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. So, Lord, we lift you up and we thank you for your presence right now. We thank you, Lord. Lord, we ask that you'd bless Jeanette as you bring forth your word. Speak through her, Father. Let your anointing just be what you want it to be today. And let our ears hear what you want us to hear, Father. Bless Alexandra as she reads your word, Lord, today. Let your anointing fall afresh and anew in her today as well, Lord. Give her the energy that she needs, the strength, Lord, she needs to do what you're calling her to do right now. Lord, we thank you and we bless you and we praise you for these two people of your kingdom, our sister and my wife, Lord God. We pray, Lord God, that your will be done, and that, Lord, you bless all that is on this call. Lord, we're coming to receive from you. So let us receive what you have, Father. Please, Lord God, have mercy and bless this time that we gather in your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, and thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Richard.
Praise God.
Okay, so we are going to... That's Luke.
Sound like you're cutting out a little. Let's try that again.
Luke chapter 19. Am I still cut up?
Excellent. No, you're good. Thank you.
Okay, good. I won't touch the phone. Okay, Luke chapter 19. We're going to be starting at the first verse. And what I'm going through right now, predominantly, but not only, is the time Jesus spent on earth. It was only 3 years. The four Gospels were written about the time that he spent on earth. And so the four Gospels, which is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is all about his ministry from the time he arrived here till the time he left. All of the accounts have a lot of similar stories, or accounts, I'll call them, and some of them vary a little in detail, which is because just as anybody, when you tell stories and you repeat it, was it one blind man or was it two? Was that a different incident? I used to get caught up on comparing all of the Gospels' account, but I'm just I kind of just flow with the Spirit now and see what he's saying. And this is the account of Luke, who was a physician. So Luke's accounts tend to be a little bit more detailed and with a little less, just a little more detailed, as a doctor writes differently than, for example, somebody who was walking with him like John.
Objective.
Yeah, objective is a good word, Tammy. Okay, so let's look at verse 1. Let's start there.
I will be reading out of the New King James Version, since Miss Jeanette likes that better. Luke 19, verse 1. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was a short stature. So he
stop
ran
here
ahead.
For a second. For just a second, I want to talk about Zacchaeus as a tax collector so that we understand what a tax collector was in that time. That's their IRS. The difference is they didn't have the computers or the written accounts, so a tax collector could kind of do what he wanted. And Rome pays these tax collectors, so they could accumulate money pretty quickly. And why is it so quick? It's because a tax collector can knock on your door and say you owe X amount in taxes. Oh, did I mention whether you do or not?
Right.
Now, that is what goes on with tax collectors. So they'll come and say, well, you owe X amount dineros. And the person says, there's no way I owe that, but even if I do, I don't have it. And then he can take a look around and say, okay, well, I'm going to take, let's say, 3 of your sheep. Maybe 4 of your cattle. I'll use that for the taxes you owe. And they came and basically robbed people any at will. So they accumulate a whole bunch of wealth, and Rome is not holding them accountable for it. Because Rome just wants their money. As long as the Romans get their money, they're good with it. And these Jewish people have been nothing but a pain in Rome's side from the time they tried to dominate them. They were constantly having their uprisings and their religious stuff that keeps getting in the way. And so Rome was smart enough to put religious leaders in charge of a lot of what went on in the Jewish community because they were so hard to control. And Rome's answer was wipe them out. And they made that perfectly clear to the Jewish rulers that if you can't control them, we can. I want you to get this whole kind of set up because it gives you a little understanding of why the Jewish leaders were in the pocket of Rome. Not only did Rome pay the Jewish leaders big money to control those people so we don't have to just slaughter them, and why would they not want to slaughter them?
Because they were
profitable. Exactly. You don't get money from dead people.
Right.
So we'd rather this rebellious, hard-to-control group be alive because we can get money. But let me tell you, if this gets too difficult, we're not doing this. And it's getting too difficult. It gets too difficult. You'll see as time progresses and throughout the years, most kingdoms end up wanting to annihilate the Jews. So Zacchaeus works for Rome, but he is a Jew. Jew meaning what? What does Jew mean?
God's chosen people.
Got one of God's chosen people, a descendant of Abraham. Okay. So Zacchaeus is the chief tax collector. Now, if I know how that works, I would guess that as a chief tax collector, he most likely had people under him, you know, coughing up a little break off of what they're taking.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, he's a rich man. Now, do you think tax collectors were loved by the people of Israel?
No.
Absolutely not. People hated to see them coming. As far as they were concerned, they were traitors to the Jewish people. Mm-hmm. They were put in a position where they could do harm, and they were doing it. So America's most hated, or the Jewish nation's most hated, are these tax collectors banging on the door and wringing you dry anytime they get good and ready.
Or do you get a letter in the mail from the IRS?
Richard said, or a letter.
Right.
IRS, you owe way more than you can pay, and we added a bunch of fees on that. Because it was late, now it's $30,000 more than you started with. Cough it up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Keep going, Isandra.
Sure. Verse 4. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house.
I'm going to stop right there. Look what happens here. Zacchaeus is a short man. So he really can't see. We might have missed it because I kind of cut her off in the middle of that. He sought to see Jesus, but he was short in stature. So he can't see over the crowd. I want you to see something. Zacchaeus ran ahead. What am I getting at here? If you really want something, you've got to do something.
Amen.
How many times do we witness to somebody and they say, oh, yeah, yeah, and they soak up everything you're saying and they walk away and do nothing?
Amen. Amen.
You say to that person, you need to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You need to repent. And the person says, and they just listen with this semi-engaged look on their face.
Yes.
But they don't.
Preach.
They do nothing. Zacchaeus undoubtedly had heard about Jesus. And I almost get the impression he was coming to see him. He's hearing about him, but he doesn't know Jesus yet like that.
Mm-hmm.
But he thinks he might want to get to know Jesus, or at least see the man would be good. And what does he do? He says, I'm too short. There's no way I can follow along in this crowd and ever begin to see Jesus because these people are way too tall for me. He runs ahead in anticipation of where Jesus is going to be next. Sometimes you've got to do more than nothing. Sometimes you have to have a strategy to get to where you're going. He mm-hmm. knows that Jesus is on this road to Jericho, and evidently there's probably not too many roads to Jericho, and here comes the crowd. So instead of standing here and complaining about being too short and never getting to see Jesus, what does he do? Something. He mm-hmm. runs ahead and climbs a tree. If you want your life to improve, if you want your relationship with God to increase, if you want a closer walk with God, you got to do something.
Mm. Preach. Preach.
Amen.
Yes.
You have to learn how to turn it off and where to turn it on.
Mm.
You have to anticipate, if I don't go to bed tonight, I'm going to be too tired in the morning.
Yes.
I want to have my quiet time with the Lord. I, you know, Jeanette talked about it all. I've heard it before and blah, blah, blah. I want that. But do I? Because the night before, you're caught up watching some movies. So getting up in the morning is not working that well. Sure, you get up, you go to work, you do this, you do that, but you get up just in time to fall out the bed, roll into some clothes, and fall out the door. Oh, don't forget the coffee. There's always time for that. You say, I want my relationship with God to grow, but are you doing what it takes to make that happen?
Amen.
Are you willing to run ahead if necessary? Are you willing to climb a tree? Well, you know what? Been short a long time. Pretty much like all my life. And climb a tree, now that's just one thing too many for me to do. Really don't have the strength, the energy. I'm not really going to do that. When you are seeking the Lord with all of your heart, you will not let anything come in the way.
Amen.
Yes, preach it.
When it's not with all of your heart, it doesn't take much to get in the way.
Say that again.
You'll stay up and watch a movie that you don't even like with no thought to, I'll be too tired in the morning to get up early enough to worship and praise the Lord and find out what he has to say to me today, to read a word today. Our choices often determine our outcome.
Amen.
So if you make the choice to be tired, then what are you going to be?
Tired.
Amen.
Yeah, I want to. I'm just have such a hard time with, you know, that quiet time or, you know, giving God. My day is really, really busy. I've got all kinds of stuff going on in my day. There's no way I really can squeeze out. I know it's only 15 minutes. Say it's 15. Some people it's more. Some people it's less. I know it's just a few minutes, but hey, do you know what I'm going through at home? Do you know what it's like? You know how busy I am? That means it's not important to you.
Amen.
Because I promise you, you find time to take a shower. I promise you. But you can't etch out a few minutes to honor the God you said you want to become more close to. You want to get to know him. You want to see his hand in your life. You want a relationship like you think somebody else has. That's what you want. How are you going to get that relationship with someone you don't spend any time with? So Zacchaeus does what most of us or many people are unwilling to do. First, he anticipates, how can I get there and be ready to see him when he passes by? How can I do that? How can we do that? Well, be prepared. I said, get enough rest so you can meet him in the morning. What else can we do to be prepared?
Yes.
Some of us, it's fellowship. If you know that there's fellowship at a certain time and you're growing and you're getting strengthened because you're learning more and more and more about the character of Jesus and his Father, and you're learning who the Holy Spirit is, if this is happening, then that should be a priority.
Yes. Amen.
So you prepare. It's not like the service in this case changes every week. Well, I could have prepared, but I don't know if it was going to be at 10 o'clock or 10 o'clock. It's at 10 o'clock. It's always at 10 o'clock. And whether you're fellowshipping in a church or wherever you are, get that fellowship in.
Amen.
Because if you want to be successful at seeing Jesus, you've got to prepare to know where he's going to be.
Preach it, Mr. Matt.
It's the same as with anything else in our lives. You want to be successful at no longer drinking? Then get with the group that is doing that successfully and make that a priority. I know you want to get paid. Some sort of way you make an effort to get to work. Okay. So are you willing to climb the tree? Are you willing to go above what it takes somebody else? And I'm going to say that. Some of us have come from a whole different background. A lot of times there's abuse in our background. There's low self-esteem in our background. There's lack of discipline in our background. Some of us are coming from more of a spoiled background. You didn't really have to do much of anything, and everything was handed to you. It doesn't matter. Each of us have to, some of us are going to have to do a little bit more than somebody else.
Amen.
Well, I'm coming with this. I've got all of these particular strongholds in my life. I'm struggling with how I even feel about myself. Everything for me is difficult. I might be shorter than most people. Instead of feeling sorry for yourself, figure it out. I'm shorter, so I might have to climb a tree.
Don't wear pumps.
Nor wear pumps. Shut up.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, family.
You see what I'm getting at?
Amen.
For one person, they may have to do more just to get where other people in the crowd already are.
Yes.
Because they're coming to the table with less. They're coming with a self-esteem in the gutter. They're coming damaged. So I want to tell you, if you see somebody up a tree, understand they're up the tree for a reason. They're not necessarily just trying to be noticed, want everybody to see them up in a tree. They're up in a tree for a reason. It takes more for some of us. You ever be in a church? I have. Never been in a church where there's a certain couple of people that seem to kind of really emotionally overdo it? And they do it week after week after week. And you're saying, you know, I know that person pretty well, and they really, their walk is kind of shady to me. Okay? They overdo it in church, and their walk looks kind of shady to you outside of church. Isn't it easy to conclude, oh, they're just a hypocrite, and in church they're just trying to get attention?
Yes, sir.
Very easy, Christian, to start concluding these things. But what if? What if that person has to hold on tighter, has to focus more because they need it more? What if their emotion that comes out in church is because they're grasping every word? What if their praise and worship seems over the top to you, but it's because it's genuinely coming from their heart because they really understand grace?
Amen.
And then they go back out, and they're still struggling. The Holy Spirit is not having control completely in their life because they're still struggling with maybe cigarettes or alcohol or this or that, or they're still struggling with inner issues that they have not been able to overcome yet. Be careful how you judge the guy up the tree.
Amen.
Amen.
Hey, Jay, this is Fran. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi. You know what I learned from you on this is was about grace and about how we have to give each other grace when we don't always understand what they might be doing or saying. And I've learned to do that with so many things in my life because of you, because you explained to me how important it was. I didn't understand that.
When you
see somebody doing something crazy or acting crazy, sometimes giving them grace rather than judging them is the best approach.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Like I said sometime recently, understand, you don't understand. Stop thinking you know what you're looking at all the time, because you don't.
Okay.
Yep.
And then you're finding yourself, that person's in a battle. They're in a struggle. They can't get over something that they're battling with, and you're now you're guilty of judging them.
Yes.
One thing that I pray, and I encourage everyone under the sound of my voice, pray, Lord, help me to see people as you do.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to give you a little secret. I pray that, and I pray it often. But I used to pray it more often, and I think the Lord's answering that prayer. Because I can get pretty worked up when a person's not doing what I think they should do. And when I'm finished calming down, do you know often now the Lord opens my eyes or he'll give me a word about that person, and it usually sets me immediately straight. Sometimes you're looking at a cripple who can't get there by themselves. You just don't see them in the spirit, so you don't know they're crippled.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Mm. So you come up alongside that person and walk with them.
Yeah.
Amen.
Not fold your arms and say, excuse me? When are you going to go do what I think you ought to be doing? The Lord will open your eyes if you ask him to. Okay, keep going.
Good stuff. Verse 6. So
go
he
back
made
to 5,
his...
please.
Sure, absolutely. Let me scroll up. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down today. I must stay at your house.
Okay.
So he made.
Remember that Jesus. One sec. Remember that Jesus did not have birds have nests, foxes have holes. The Son of Man hath not anywhere to lay his head. Remember that?
Yes.
So he stayed at different people's houses. And it seems that he knew whose house he's staying at.
Mm-hmm.
Now, remember, Zacchaeus is just a short guy, tax collector in a crowd. But he's up this tree, and Jesus knows his name.
Mm. Mm. Hallelujah.
Jesus knows his name. Mm-hmm. Jesus knows your name.
Yes, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Jesus is not oblivious to who you are.
Yes.
He is not oblivious to what your needs are. He's not oblivious to the struggles that you're struggling with. He knows
Lord.
Every one of them.
Yes, Lord.
He knows your name.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
What a beautiful thing if you can understand it and grasp it, that the Lord of Lords, that all heavenly hosts,
mm-hmm.
the creator of all spirits, the Lord of all spirits, knows your name.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Here he's thinking, I just want to see Jesus, and I can't even be seen. I'm so short.
Hallelujah.
I'm missing so much. But Jesus knows his name. Zacchaeus makes the effort to run ahead and position himself.
Yes, yes.
To do something so I can see the man. I bet he didn't expect that Jesus would meet him this way. So no sooner is Zacchaeus up there in that tree and Jesus starts passing by, Jesus says, Zacchaeus, hurry, come down. Today I'm staying at your house. Keep going.
Verse 6. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus, there's that
we're
judgment.
Stop right there for one second. Yeah. Sure. Here's the judgment.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to go a little bit further than that. If you're following Jesus down these long, dusty roads, everybody on this call, this applies, because we're following Jesus down long, dusty roads.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jesus turns and says, I'm going to go stay at his house. Do you think if you were the one following Jesus down long, dusty roads, wouldn't you want him to come and notice you and say, I'm going to come and stay at your house?
Sure.
How honored would you be if the master turned around and a multitude of people picked you? But instead, he picks the worst of the worst. Think about how it feels, children of the living God, Christians. How does it feel when something like that happens? How does it feel when you've been on the road a long time and you've been doing what you know to do, at least way better than that fellow and that fellow and that fellow? And God honors somebody who hasn't done right for 5 minutes. Hasn't even done right yet. Why are you going to their house? I challenge you to consider that maybe some jealousy is in that and resentment in that. We zero in on clearly they start, he's gone to be the guest with a man who is a sinner. Put a different emphasis on how you read it and what do you get. Of all the people that he could be with, me for one, why is he staying at the house of a sinner?
Yeah.
Be careful, children of God, not to allow envy and jealousy to well up in your heart when you see somebody that's receiving a gift that you don't have.
Amen.
Now, why did I go there? Because if we flip into the teachings later in the New Testament, the church was constantly having a problem with envying one another. Because Paul addresses it not once, not twice. Jesus coming to stay at your house is a great honor.
Yes.
Just as certain gifts that God gives certain people, for whatever reason, he gives it to them. And you got to wonder, why not me? Why can't I discern like that? Why can't I lay hands on the sick and they're healed? Why not me? Keep going.
Verse 8, then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen.
Amen.
Now, as they heard these things.
Nope, we're going to stop there.
Sure.
We're stopping there. We're going to go somewhere else, but there we stop. I want to bring up how just the effort that Zacchaeus made put him in such an amazing position. But just the encounter from the ground to the tree changed his heart.
Yeah.
Changed his heart.
Yeah.
There's plenty that are on this dusty road following Jesus whose heart did not change. They're even sitting in church and their heart did not change.
Yes.
Did Zacchaeus say, I'm going to give half. Now, that's a lot. I'm going to give half of the money I have now immediately to the poor. I'm letting go right now of the things of this world.
Yes.
And from the people that I have taken from unjustly, I'm going to restore them four times the amount.
Woo, hallelujah.
Four times the amount. Right now, today. Zacchaeus was changed just like that with an encounter with Jesus. Some of us follow, and we never get to that point.
Yes, well.
We never get to the point we're willing to let go and let God. We don't get there. We just follow from a distance. We do like Peter in the courtyard. We watch and see how this is going to go from a distance. But yeah, are you a follower of Jesus? Yeah, from a distance. But nothing in that has changed you. You're still selfish. You're still not willing to cut out the things that displease God in your life. Remember, it's a process. Anybody that's feeling the power and the conviction of the Holy Spirit right now, before you go too far down that road, it's a process. It's going to take a minute.
Yes.
And all these things will fall off if you keep yielding to the Holy Spirit. But the start
Amen.
Is positioning yourself to grow in Christ.
Amen.
Don't take the position, well, I really don't tell anybody I'm a Christ follower because I still do this, I still do that, I still struggle with this, and I still struggle with that. So I'm going to, you know, kind of back up on that right now. And when I get, when I finish this, that, and the other, when I let go of this, that, and the other, I'll be ready. That's the trick of the enemy.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's the trick of the enemy. Because if you can identify those things as things that you don't want to do anymore and you're still doing them, probably what you haven't come to terms with is you can't stop.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Maybe your faith hasn't even grown to be able to let go of some of the things.
Amen.
Yeah.
So before we go down complete condemnation row, understand it's a process. All I'm saying today, Zacchaeus was following behind Jesus without a changed heart. But he wanted to know more. He wanted to see Jesus.
Yes.
And he did what he had to do to get in a position. When he did what he had to do to position himself, which required more than the average guy, because he's too short, he had to climb up a tree, Jesus met him where he was.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus didn't meet him and say, hey, Zacchaeus, when you get all that stuff that you know you need to do straightened out, I should be, I don't know, probably in heaven by then because I know where I'm really headed.
Mm.
No. Jesus said today, come on down, hurry. I'm staying at your house today. Because Zacchaeus, when he met Jesus, when he saw him, he was changed. He was transformed. Now, how do people see Jesus? Well, that was great because Zacchaeus could climb a tree and actually see Jesus. But how do we see Jesus? How is a person going to see Jesus here on earth?
Through his servants.
Through his people.
Mm-hmm.
Through his people. Next challenge of this lesson is be that person that when somebody meets you, the Spirit of God is so powerfully working in you, they want to change.
Yes,
be
hallelujah.
That person.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Be the face of Christ here on earth.
Mm-hmm.
What a beautiful thing. A person meets you and they don't even know what's going on, but they don't want to do what they were doing anymore. They want deliverance. They want to be saved. They want their life changed.
Yes. Hallelujah.
First thing Jesus says to Zacchaeus is he calls him by name and he says, come down, I'm staying at your house. And Zacchaeus comes out the tree and he's completely changed. He's changed forever because he encountered Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Be that person.
Amen.
That when they encounter you, they're encountering the Lord in you.
Hallelujah.
And not because you're wearing a shirt that says, the Lord is in me. The Lord is in me. Me.
I'm a Christian.
You're not. Don't you want to be like me? Wouldn't you rather be like me? And then you open your holy eyes and everyone's gone.
Mm.
Just nobody wants to be like you.
Oh, hallelujah.
Let us be that. Be available. And how can we be available for the Spirit of God to work that powerfully through you as it did through our Lord and Savior? Jesus is that example. The example of what we ought to look like. Well, I'm not Jesus. Then whose spirit is residing within you? His spirit. He lives in this temple. The spirit of the living God lives within you if you have the Holy Spirit. So when people encounter you, they should be encountering the Holy Spirit. And what does the Holy Spirit have the power to do? Eliminate darkness,
yes.
Expelling it with its light. Are we living a life that it's noticeable that God's Spirit is within us? Are we living a life that it is noticeable that God's Spirit is within us? I'm going to tell you a secret. Something about the way God's Spirit works. People don't know that you have opted to leave all and follow Him. People don't know. But the Spirit within them will be drawn to you. And they won't know why. They won't know that you make the decisions to meet with the Lord. They won't know that you meet with the Lord often all throughout the day. They don't know that. But the supernatural does. The spirit that you're walking in is so powerful, people will just come. They're drawn not to you, but they're drawn to the spirit within you. That is how we can exact change here on earth.
Amen.
First, you have to be willing to get up, do whatever it takes, even if it means climb a tree. The other message in that, don't forget that just because a person's up in a tree, looks pretty conspicuous up there, and that's who Jesus chose, you don't know why that man's in a tree. Some people recognize their deficiencies. I'm not saying that short people are deficient. I'm using it as an example.
Amen.
Zacchaeus realized that when I'm coming to the table with, the only way I'm going to see Jesus is I've got to find a way. And I want to enough to get there. So I'm going to leave the crowd and go forward. Because the way the crowd sees Jesus, I'll never see him that way.
Yeah.
Won't happen for me.
And I think an example for us today is seeing whatever struggle that you have that interferes with that and making that decision to at least, you know, cry out to God for help and admit you can't do it on your own and ask Him to help you, you know. So to be able to get into that position where that struggle is not blocking your way, where the stronghold is not controlling you, where the Holy Spirit can freely grow in you and your flesh can grow dim.
Zacchaeus only had what Zacchaeus could do.
Yep.
Zacchaeus Amen. Couldn't free his heart from the hold right. money had on him.
Yeah.
Zacchaeus couldn't do that. But Zacchaeus could put himself in a position to
Amen.
Encounter Jesus. That's all
yes.
he could do. Some of us, all we can do is first admit there's a deficit.
Right.
Nothing I can do anything about. I'm just too short, born that way.
Yes.
I'm
yes.
missing some things that everybody else seems to have. But he did what he could do. That's what I'm challenging us to do. Do what you can do. Forget about your big list of what you can't do and stop kidding yourself that you have control over areas of your life that you don't.
Amen. Amen.
So instead of making all these bargains
yes.
with God, well, when I get this and when I do that, once this is in place, then I'll. Just say, Lord, you see my circumstances. Here I stand.
Yes.
Change my heart.
Yes.
Come
yes.
into my heart. Have a relationship with me.
Yes.
Yes, and that's what Jesus did. He had a relationship with Zacchaeus that very day. In other accounts, Zacchaeus' whole family, his whole household, salvation has come to your house.
Yes. That's so...
How beautiful is that? Because Zacchaeus made the effort, salvation came to his house.
Hallelujah.
Everybody gets changed forever if somebody near you can get changed.
Preach that.
Now that light is within them, running around expelling darkness.
Hallelujah.
Do you think Jesus comes to your house and nothing happens? Salvation had come to his house. That's what a beautiful, beautiful story to me. We have a few minutes more, and I kind of wanted to zoom over somewhere else, but I'm going to shut that down and I'm going to leave it because I feel that's a complete message today.
Amen.
And I'm not going to go into, we'll go next week, we're going to be looking at wicked vine dressers, but not today. Anybody have any comments, questions?
Thank you for a beautiful word today. It was awesome.
I got to tell you, it hit me right at home today because, you know, I get caught up in my life, work, and other stuff, and movies, and all that kind of stuff. And I, you know, I've tired myself out to the point to where I couldn't get up the next day and miserate God. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm going to say this, which I probably shouldn't, but Carol is no Zacchaeus. He's like 6'7". He is the priest.
Maybe the priest sometimes has to bow down to see what
How beautiful. That was great.
So thank you for that, Terrell. Any other comments?
You know, when Jeanette was talking about what we have to do, you know, what Zacchaeus did, what we have to do, James 4:7 came into my head. Submit yourself. Submit. New King James says, therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil. So if you submit to him, and then that helps you to resist those struggles, those things are coming from the enemy that block us. But that's what we need to do. That's like really the first step. As opposed to saying, okay, I'm going to, you know, not do this. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do this way. I'm going to do it that way. Submit to God first.
Absolutely.
And he will show you what to do.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Because, again, we have a false sense of what we can handle anyway.
Right.
Yes.
You're talking about, you know, what you're going to be able to do. And if the Holy Spirit isn't reigning in your life, you are pretty much powerless against the flesh.
Right.
Yeah.
So, no, as of today, I'm only eating salads.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, don't strike me for that lie.
Yes. Amen.
And I don't care how many times I've woke up with that on my mind. No, fruit, vegetables, that's it, that's all. But I'm battling my flesh.
Yeah.
And until I get power from the Holy Spirit over it in that area, that's a stronghold area for me.
Yeah.
People say you are what you eat. That makes me potato chips and cupcakes. Because that's what I ate for years once I left home. Lunch was Hostess cupcakes, potato chips, and a soda. And that went on for years. I am made of sugar. And salt. Not really funny, but what I'm getting at is we forget about the false promises in the morning.
Yeah.
Just ask the Lord to help you in the areas that you need the help.
Amen.
Because if I could have done it, don't you think I would have done it?
Absolutely.
I told myself, okay, all right. I have a son, David, who tells me all the time, all there is to it is to do it.
Amen.
Okay. Well, that sounds great. But if there's a stronghold in your life, it doesn't come like that.
No.
You're going to need the power of God in an area of your life. Someone will say, yeah, we're talking about Jeanette choices.
You can easily choose an apple over that chocolate cake you saw yesterday.
Mm.
Well,
sounds.
Maybe sometimes I'm victorious, maybe sometimes I'm not.
Amen.
Going by the scale, not.
Because just doing those things does not get rid of the stronghold. We need the
right.
Holy Spirit, we need God to dig in there and help us to see it as well as, you know, help us be freed from it.
I don't think that eating the wrong foods and having a hard time and struggling with your weight is any different than someone who can't tell the truth that their life depends on it.
Yes, right. Amen. Amen.
You know, Jeanette, I have that same struggle. I have that same struggle. And when I snap out of it, because, you know, it's like it's on autopilot. You say to yourself, you're not going to do those things, but then, you know, that potato chip looks really good. You just eat it, and then afterwards you go, why did I do that? You know?
Amen. Amen.
So what I tell myself is, that's the devil trying to get me off my good step.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I try to keep that in mind for the next time. But it is a constant struggle.
Yeah, the devil does play a part in it. But I cannot underestimate just the power of your own flesh.
Mm-hmm. Preach it. Preach
it. What he often does is do the suggesting.
Mm-hmm.
Or tap somebody that's coming over your house. Well, stop and pick up some nachos.
Yes. Amen.
Well, then the little voice speaks to them and says, well, you know, Gerald's kind of trying to stay away from that. Ah, yeah, but he doesn't do it often. Now and then, okay. The devil usually works in circumstances and through people that he can get to do something that they think is harmless that's throwing you into orbit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But our flesh is what craves it in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's not a devil craving it. It's you craving it.
Mm-hmm.
Your flesh is craving it.
Mm-hmm.
But he's given us victory over all of it. We just have to keep getting closer to the Lord, and he will get closer to you. And one of these days, Lord willing, before they have to carry me to a casket, hopefully I will have overcome this area in my life. And I hope so. And I say I hope so because I know I will have victory in that area of my life, but I'm not sure it'll be on this side because I've spent a lot of years fighting this very same thing.
Mm.
Yes. So I know God promises victory. Well, I'm not sure that I'll see it here because Paul wrestled with some thorn in his side and he went to the Lord about it and God did not take it from him.
No,
he had
didn't.
To keep wrestling with that thorn in his side all the rest of the days of life.
Yes.
So sometimes we have things that we're going to always, and it's a process and it's so deep rooted and even sometimes it's just your flesh.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Maybe I've triggered too much insulin or something. I'm not a diabetic, thank God, today. But the cravings are, you know, just cravings. But everybody, it's something, like I said, whether it's eating the wrong thing when you should do better or out pop a stupid lie for no reason.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Oh, have you seen this show? No, I haven't seen that show. You've seen the show. Come on. Stop it. I know you've seen the show.
Jay, how about hoarding stuff on your patio for about 2 years? I didn't realize I couldn't stop doing that until you said you cannot do it yourself or you would have done it already. Like, oh, okay, you're right. You're absolutely right.
Amen. Hey, I think a good takeaway, too, today is what Ms. Jeanette said about positioning yourself. Even mm-hmm. though that stronghold is not taken away, position yourself for God to give you the grace
right.
to endure,
right.
you know. So
yes.
I'm all about positioning, you know.
Right.
If you
You're
can
right.
get there, God will be there for you, you know.
Right, right.
That's
right. I don't have to walk into a convenience store that all they have is sugar and salt.
Yes.
You know, that's the part.
Yes.
I don't have to go in the donut shop because the car is parked near it. I don't have to.
Yes.
Because if I go in, all bets off.
It's over.
Sometimes positioning yourself.
Apple fritter.
Sandra, sometimes positioning yourself is being around people that support you that are either going through the same struggle or have been there to lift you up, because isolating ourselves puts us right where the enemy wants us to be.
And also with people that
don't have those struggles, you know, that can eat whatever they want or are always, they're committed to exercise or, you know, whatever your issue is, it really helps, you know, and believers who struggle with this, not just people of the world.
Yeah.
You know, I think positioning yourself.
One second.
Go ahead.
Only thing I have to say about that is being around people who can eat whatever they want does not help me, because I tell myself, I can eat whatever I want today, too.
Oh, that's not what I'm saying. That doesn't help you. I'm saying that does not help you.
Oh, okay.
Being around people who don't struggle with it a lot of times when you're, you know. No, I'm saying the opposite.
Yeah. It's like, well, I can eat that too. Thank
you. It's like saying, you know, I really don't have a drinking problem, but I'm going to go in a bar and I'm just going to have a soda, you know, or a, you know, tonic or something.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
What were you saying, Sandra?
I was just wanted to close in saying that positioning yourself means a different things to different people. Because all of our strongholds are uniquely different. So we don't want to be too literal on, you know, positioning ourselves with others. You know, sometimes it's just a place, person, or thing. So I just wanted to, for those who are, you know, listening intently, it looks different for each of us. But positioning ourselves, as Mr. Nett said, is key.
And the Holy Spirit will guide you.
Amen.
He will guide you.
Yes.
He will tell you, hey, up the street there's a sycamore tree.
There you go.
It's going to take a little effort, but if you climb it, you'll get to see Jesus.
Woo! Amen.
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 Any volunteers to close us in prayer?
Do God's will for Linda.
Yes, okay. In Jesus Christ's name.
Any other prayer requests before we close in prayer? All right, let's close.
Yeah, I got a
Anybody
friend.
Anybody volunteer to close us?
I have a friend that, I have a friend who lives in an apartment complex in Oakland, and I guess one of her neighbors just committed suicide on the day that they started the national, you know, suicide hotline, which was yesterday. And so her and her neighbors are kind of going through it. If we can just maybe lift them up in prayer, that would be nice as well.
Yes. Oh, my. Oh, my goodness.
What an opportunity for God to use this low point to cause people to think, where did she go?
Oh, yes.
Or am I ready to meet my maker?
Hallelujah.
Richard, would you close us?
Yes. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise you. Thank Heavenly you, Father, we are so thankful that you have opened our eyes, our ears, our hearts, our minds to your word today. And Lord, you said that if you really want something, we must do something. And Lord, we have to be doers of the word that we've just heard today.
Hallelujah.
And Lord, if we want to see you, we got to position ourselves in a way that we can see you, Father. So Lord, we're asking that you would please help us to remember what we've heard and let us begin to live it, Lord God, so that we can have a closer connection with you.
Yes.
So that, Father, we can be the light in this dark world to help others.
Yes.
Lord, if our light is not shining, then what good are we? For you said, salt has lost its saltiness. What good are we? Yes. Throw it into the ocean, Lord. It's no good. So, Father, we ask that you would increase our desire, increase our will. Let your will be our will so that we can serve you in spirit and in truth.
Yes.
So, Father, have your way today. Have your way in our hearts. Have your way in our thoughts. Have your way in every decision that we make, Lord God. Oh, Lord, we bless you. We praise you for the goodness of your word today. For it truly has fulfilled our souls, Lord God. We thank you for it, Father. Lord, we lift up Linda, Lord, that you would strengthen her to do your will. For she's asking, Father. And, Lord, you've already heard. So, Lord, let your will be done.
Yes, Father.
Give her strength in the places that, Lord, she knows she's trying to. She needs strength in the areas that she's trying to do. Let her do it for the glory of you.
Yes,
let her remember it's all about you, not about Linda. So, Lord, give her that encouragement. Give her all that she needs to do it, Lord God.
Hallelujah.
Oh, Father, we just bind up the adversary. We bind up the flesh that wants to stop her from doing what you want her to do and what she desires to do.
Yes,
have your will in Linda's life, Lord God. Bless her, Father. Bless her and let her be a blessing to others as she goes throughout this day and every day that you give her breath again. Lord, we bless Tara, Lord. We bless you to pour out your blessing in his heart as he cares for others each and every day. Oh, Lord, we pray, Father, that his friend that lives in Oakland that has the friend that has committed suicide, Lord God. You know, the devil likes to isolate, Lord, and made that person or whomever it was to give him the desires. It can't make him do anything. It just encouraged him, Lord God. And so he or she followed through with that. But, Lord, we pray that you would touch the families, that you would use this time, Lord God, to manifest yourself greatly in their lives, to let them know that there is a life after death, and let them know that we can live here in peace and in harmony, not because of our power or our strength, but because of you. And knowing who you are our peace. You are our joy. You are the joy that the world can't give and the world cannot take away. So, Lord, we bless you and we praise you, and we ask that you pour that out into their lives and to that community that's around that individual that they gave their lives up, Father. Oh, Lord, I ask that you would just show yourself mindful in that whole community, Lord God, that they won't look at the sadness. They look at a way of coming closer and drawing near to you because you are the answers to all that is lost. Because you came to seek the lost and save them, Lord God. Also, Father, I ask that you touch the community and use this as a time, Lord, that you would be lifted up and glorified. And that, Lord, we will all come to know you, Lord. We thank you for it, Father. And we thank you for this unspoken prayer request, Lord, that someone didn't say. Lord, you meet those needs today as well. Oh, Lord, we ask that your will be done. Your will be done here on earth and in us and through us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. You guys have a wonderful week to come.
Yes.
You as well. Thank you. God bless.
God bless you all.
All right. Have a good evening or day.
Thanks, Jane. Thanks, Richard. Bye-bye.